There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So service centres operated by Dubai government are closed this week to see a full transformation of government services into smart channels. The campaign was launched in a bid to complete the smart transformation goals set for 2021. A total of 100 service centres of 40 government entities offering 1,100 services will have to be accessed online. Dubai residents have praised the initiative campaign, highlighting the benefits including reduction in traffic congestion, saving in time and money and energy conservation. Will this initiative improve a work-life balance? We are constantly told about balance in our lives at the moment. Are more of our lives going on to apps? Is that helping to address the work-life balance and realign that at the moment? Plus, is AI a good thing? It is impacting every part of our lives, or certainly large parts of our life at the moment. But how much is too good when it comes to AI? What sort of elements of your life are being impacted by artificial intelligence at the moment, and which do you like to keep, a little bit human? Can I introduce a four-day week with a successful implementation of smart services? That's another question that we'll be posing between now and the end of play, with a number of countries around the world toying with this idea at the moment. Is it feasible? Can we bring in more flexible working hours? Can we bring in a shorter working week when it comes to the days worked? Or do you just miss the human interaction at the moment? With more and more companies turning their attention to online services and fewer manning phone desks and manning online booking desks, does tech just frustrate you when it doesn't work? And would you rather just speak to a human being when it comes to getting your bits and pieces done on a daily basis? We're talking the power of technology, an efficient way to get things done. Does it just manipulate our minds and emotions? As I said, you can call us now on 04871 5500 or text us on 4001. It is a minefield of a conversation, this one, because so many of our daily activities are now available on app. We were talking to David McKenzie yesterday of McKenzie Jones here in the Middle East. He was talking about how he does practically all of his business, or certainly all of his bureaucracy, his red tape online using apps, and he finds it ultra efficient. Is that always the case, though? Because we had heard a couple of examples yesterday of people being involved in small accidents, bumps on the road to the UAE. There was this suggestion, wasn't there, that two drivers need to have the same app and they need to marry that app if you want to resolve one of the problems, a shunt on the roads of the UAE. David was saying equally that you don't need that, it just can be the one person that fills in all the details. But there still is this grey area, isn't there? There are the early adopters that are taking on app technology and what app technology can do for our lives. There are those that haven't accepted it just yet and are still awaiting, they need convincing, I suppose, is the right word.
I don't think it really matters at the moment if you don't trust the tech or that you're not particularly happy about adopting it, because there is also the person and the human being available to talk you through it. As you know, Tom, last mm-hmm. week when I was sitting at my desk, we had a phone call from the police saying that somebody had accidentally driven into my parked car.
Correct.
And I went down and had a lovely chat with the driver of the other car and two very helpful policemen. And the policeman said, "Do you have the Dubai Police app?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, you need to download it so that we can process the, you know, complaint, etc." And so there and then I downloaded the Dubai Police app. And then actually we came to an agreement when we decided that it was fine and we worked it out amongst ourselves. But the fact is that he was there with me. The policemen were there talking me through the smart technology and he was more than happy to help me with the app. So they're trained in how to use the technology, and there is going to be a transition period. And I suppose this week is a perfect example of actually let's see how well this will work without the human being there. Let's physically close the offices so you can't physically turn up. You need to try and do this yourself. And if you can't get it done within that time frame, then there will be a human being back in the office next week. So you can, I think it's a great idea.
Question I suppose we're posing this morning, or one of the questions we're posing, is how much is too far? How much would you be willing to commit or entrust to technology, to a robot, to artificial intelligence? Is it as simple as downloading forms? I mean, what about investing your money? I ask this question because firms like Morgan Stanley are, in fact, using artificial intelligence to manage clients' money at the moment. Firms ranging from big Wall Street names to Silicon Valley startups are testing the waters to see how artificial intelligence can help consumers manage their money and plan for retirement. Automating processes can help enhance the work of human financial advisors or replace them altogether, depending on who you ask. The next time you receive an email or get an automated feedback on how to manage your money, know that artificial intelligence could be behind it. Morgan Stanley is one of the companies that launched its initiative called Next Best Action to its more than 15,000 financial advisors earlier this year, including the firm's service employees. More than 20,000 have access to the tools. The technology works by evaluating communications with clients by emails, texts, and other notes. It then applies machine learning to evaluate other ideas that can be suggested to the client. Again, this is something that is efficient and it makes sense, and there is a lot of good to be had from it. But at the same time, it's your money, and there has to be that element of trust. And is that not a bond that we've set up with our financial advisor, with our stockbrokers, that you almost want to have that human face-to-face interaction with them when your money is on the line?
Oh, absolutely. But I also... data and the collection of data and the usage of data, but it's... I think it can absolutely work in your favour when, you know, if you say you're looking at a typical consumer, let's say me, and a computer can analyse my spending patterns, when I spend money, how I spend my money, how I could save my money. Mm. And it can look at my behaviour and then it will say, well, look, actually, you tend to go shopping on a Thursday afternoon and that's when you'll really splurge all your cash. Or, you know, if it can recognise your behaviour with money and then help you learn how to manage your money, and I'm just talking about a consumer here, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, about looking at the data and managing the data and improving a process. And again, that's the same can be applied to the flow of people through an airport. And they can say, well, we know if five aeroplanes arrive at the same time, this is how we can speed up that flow of people. And then the computer will analyse the data and it will improve a process. So I'm all for that. And I'm all for if it improves processes and helps us get to places that we need to get to, or helps us manage our money and look after our cash and be mindful of what we're doing, then I'm all for it. I'm all over it.
There's an app available for almost anything out there, but as a society, are these apps preventing us from doing the basic tasks ourselves? Is society becoming too dependent on apps, too dependent on technology? Your thoughts, please, as government offices across the UAE close for a week to help boost the smart initiatives here in the UAE. Is society becoming too dependent on apps? Are you becoming too dependent on apps? Have we become, as a people, too dependent on apps? Dubai residents have praised the initiative campaign, highlighting the benefits, including reduction in traffic congestion, saving in time and money, and energy conservation. So, will this initiative improve the all-important work-life balance? Can Dubai introduce a four-day week with the successful implementation of smart services? Or do you just miss that human interaction? We're asking you for your thoughts, please. Text them through to us on 40001. Are we becoming too dependent on technology? Is society becoming too dependent on apps in order to survive? There's pretty much an app available for almost everything. Are these apps preventing us from doing basic tasks ourselves? Or is it all part of the drive for greater efficiency? Let's get the thoughts now of a man in the know, Group Editor, Tech Radar Pro, Ask Men Middle East. Nick Rago joins us live on the line. Nick, good to hear, speak to you this morning.
I love the introduction, Tom. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Thanks for taking time to join us. Apps. So obviously, we are being driven towards the smart initiative at the moment right here in Dubai. Are we becoming too dependent on apps, or is that just flying in the face of technology and its progress at the moment?
Well, I think it depends on what kind of apps you have on your phone. Definitely, there are apps that are making lives a lot easier. For example, this past week at Jitex Trade, the Dubai government was showcasing the Smart Dubai Stand, and they were basically highlighting the Dubai Now app, which consolidates all of the various government services and payments into one easy-to-use app. So if you have one app that can pay for your traffic fines, recharge your SALEK, even top up your petrol at the petrol station, it's a good app to have. Now, if you've got apps in there that you're really just using to sort of pass the time, etc., again, with moderation, those are great apps as well. But I think you know, we live in a world now where everything is on our mobile phone in the palm of our hands. So if you have a service, if you have a company that doesn't have a corresponding app, then people question, like, do I want to be using the service because it isn't as convenient as just pulling up the app on my phone, doing a few taps, and away I go. I think that's one of the things that apps have highlighted, is that if you as a business don't have an app associated with your service, then people will question, you know, whether or not, how long that service is going to be lasting for.
Does the development of this sort of technology, does the development of an ecosystem where we are more app and technology based depend on everyone buying into the system? We had an example yesterday of somebody who got involved in a minor accident on the road. They pulled out the Dubai Police app, but the other person didn't have any apps on their phones. In fact, they had a very old-fashioned phone, and therefore they couldn't marry the two. They could have, because technology was there on one of the apps, but the mindset wasn't there with two people. Do we therefore still need that human mindset to buy in from two minds rather than one?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a perfect example. I go to my parents' house over in Sharjah every weekend. And, you know, towards the end of the month, I have to sit with my dad for about an hour and do a lot of manual paperwork for him, because with his business, he has to basically now is being told you can't submit paperwork for, like, if a clearing paycheck, etc. You have to do it all through online systems. And he's never used a computer in his life. He has a very old mobile phone. He doesn't have any apps, anything at all. All he does is make phone calls and occasionally will send a text message. So for people like him, for a generation like him that haven't been exposed to this kind of technology, it's almost crippling, because you're telling people to use these, you know, fantastic online services that are built for a generation that has been used to the iPads, that are used to smartphones, whereas all these other generations, the older generations, are just kind of staring blankly at people's faces when they say, okay, go online and pay it. They just don't know how to do it because they aren't exposed to that. So I think to some extent, it's great having apps for all these services. It's great to have people to be able to do all this from the palm of their hand. But you still have to keep in mind there are going to be a lot of people living in the UAE that have never used this technology before and are still reliant on going to customer service centers, going, you know, in person to pay for services or ask questions rather than doing it through an app.
There was, I don't know if it's urban myth, but there was a story out recently of a company that accidentally bulldozed the wrong house due to faulty Google Maps directions. This is just one and a long list of a litany of great examples where people have become over-reliant, not just on Google Maps, but other mapping apps and mapping technology as well. Again, is this a skill, a human skill, that maybe we are losing at the moment? Are we giving over to a generation that won't know how to read a traditional map? And is that a problem or not?
I remember in, you know, my university days, I would actually draw a map to my house and sort of send it to my friends and say, okay, this is where you come for my birthday party, whatever it is. And I miss those days, honestly. But now you can drop a Google pin almost anywhere in, you know, in Dubai and have people on their merry way. But I think it's one of those instances where, with the example of Google Maps, you want to use it with caution. You obviously don't want to go word for word, especially in a city like Dubai where the roads are constantly changing. You never know where you're going to end up driving to. So I think, you know, with any app you're using, you can use it in moderation. You can use it for the service as it's intended to, but at some point in time you're going to want to retain certain skills yourself. You know, there are definitely people who rely on Google Maps too often and, you know, don't know how to read a street address or a house number, and for those people you need to make sure that you have these basic skills available. You can't just always say, oh, is there an app for that? Is there a way that I can make it easier by following an app rather than using my sort of default human intuition?
I think that you make a good point there, and just maybe push you on that a little further, because we are often told about the fact that soft skills, about the human skills, being human is key to getting ahead in the gig economy that is enveloping us at the moment. With what you just said, that, you know, knowing the road system here in the UAE, having grown up here, having a bit streetwise knowledge, knowing when certain roads are going to be busy at certain times of the day, do you need to add an element of those ingredients into your streetways when you look at your maps and it's telling you to go one way and you go, you know what, I think I probably know better and go the other way?
Oh, Tom, you took the words right out of my mouth. The day I trump Google is almost a daily battle where Google will say, you know, take the left turn. And I was like, no, I don't think I want to be driving to Sharjah. Thank you. I'll make the U-turn over here. But, you know, just sticking with Google as an example, there are other fantastic mapping applications like Waze. And, you know, in the earlier days, Waze wasn't as big of an app over here. And it's exactly like Google Maps. It shows you, you know, the maps of the city, et cetera, but it's community driven. So when there's an accident, when there's a problem on the roads, somebody can report it safely on the app, and while you're driving, you basically get a ping that, okay, in 3 kilometers is an accident, and it'll automatically remap a route for you that, you know, goes around the accident or goes around the diversion. And I think apps like that definitely rely on the people using them. So if you have a community drive or community initiative behind your app, you're far more successful than the standard big names out there. So Google Maps is great, it's accurate, but I think apps like Waze, which rely very much on community feedback, are a lot more successful in the cities, because you have other people, real life users, who are reporting things as they happen in real time and for the greater benefit. So I think apps like that, if you have a community drive behind them, you can definitely see a larger uptake in the number of people using and downloading your app.
Nick, I just want to get the thoughts finally of a man who lives, breathes, eats and bleeds tech such as yourself. You do. We know that. You know that. And that's why we rely on you for a little bit of common sense in subjects like this. The Service Centre Initiative by government. I know that they did a day earlier on this year just to sort of test the water. They've now expanded that to a week. They're very keen to point out that this is not just a complete closure. There are people on site to show you how to move and transfer to more smart channels. Is this an initiative that you welcome?
I think it's a great move forward, and definitely there are people who, you know, don't necessarily like driving to certain centers and, you know, waiting in queue to get their number and then speaking to someone at the desk, and it just gets a lot of time wasted in your day. So if you can be sitting in your desk and say, oh, I need to get a police clearance certificate, or I need to pay this fine or top of my salary, you can do it from the palm of your hand. So it's very, very efficient. It's super effective, super quick. But on that note, like I said before, you also have to keep in mind there will be people coming to these centers anyway who've been doing it for years and years who don't have access to the technology, to the smart apps, to smartphones, who still prefer the traditional method of just talking to someone, paying something in cash, and being on their way. So I think it's kind of a 50-50. You're going to have the generation of users that are used to apps and used to smartphones that will welcome the change, and you also have the generation of people that have never used a smartphone in their life who still want things to stay as they are.
Nick, always appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks so much indeed for taking time to join us. All the best with the rest of the day.
Thanks so much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.